2-3 months ago, we had the parable of the unforgiving servant. And if you remember, if you were there at that Mass, they talked about how the unforgiving servant was forgiven a huge amount, is what our gospel translation said. But in the Greek, it's 10,000 talents. Anyone remember what a talent was worth? What I said it was worth at that time? It's about 20 years of wages. So give or take, about $500,000. Can you imagine being given $500,000? Or maybe you're the second servant. Maybe you're given $1 million. Or $2.5 million. This parable is one that I think is tremendously important for us as we end this retreat. Because we've received so much, not just on this retreat, but as Catholics, we've received so much. The Church teaches us that everything that we need for salvation subsists, exists, and is found in the Catholic Church. Everything. Everything. Think about it. We have authority. We have the Bible. We have the teaching of the apostles that continue to us. The authority of the Pope. We have Mary. We have the Eucharist. We have the baptism. We have... It's not that they can't be found outside the church, but they are found primarily in the church. That's what the word subsist means. We've been given a great treasure worth more than $500,000, worth more than $2.5 million. In fact, I dare say, if you go back, it's worth more than 10,000 times whatever that works out to be, $500,000. Worth more than that. We've received all of this. And in this parable, Jesus noticed something. That what Jesus is saying. The first servant is brought in and said, "Master, I received 5. I went out and did something with it. And I have 5 more to show for it." "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in small matters. You will be given great responsibility." And that's a little scary for some of us who have been faithful in small matters, isn't it? That we're going to be more responsible. But Jesus knows we're up to the challenge. And the one who has received 2, he's not critiqued, he's not criticized, he's not condemned because he didn't make 5 more. In fact, he's praised with the exact same words. "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've done well in small matters. Now you will be given great responsibility." But that poor servant with the one, notice what he says. "I know your heart, man. So I buried it." Do you get the sense, like I do, that this man, if he would have done something with it, and even if he would have lost it, even if he would have invested in a business that went belly up, even if he had put it in the bank, and the bank sold everything and he lost his money, do you get the sense he would have been as readily condemned as he was here? I get the sense he was condemned not because he didn't make another talent. I think he was condemned because he didn't try to do anything with the talent. He didn't even try. Just went out, buried it, dug it up, and returned it. I think there's great comfort in that for us. You've been given a great challenge this weekend. A great challenge to go to the people we're praying for, the people that you inscribed on a rock. And Brian, I find that fitting. He said, you know, once the Holy Spirit places something in your heart, it doesn't lift. How appropriate it is that you're given a rock. I feel sorry for those that took a bigger rock, because that's going to be a heavier burden, spiritually, not just physically. That God has given these people to you, and if you go back and you say, "Well, God has given me the tools that through this retreat team, God has given you the tools through prayer and adoration, God has given you the tools through Scripture, through the tradition of the church, through the teaching of the church, through the catechism. God has given you the tools through the Blessed Mother and the Rosary and all these things." And you go home and you promptly just throw the rock away and say, "I'm not going to do anything with it." That's scary. But let's say you go home. Let's say you're praying. Let's say you're doing everything and using all those tools and you flop miserably.
talks miserably but had tried? A saint. Because the saints continue to try. Yesterday there in Detroit, there was a beatification of Solanus Casey. Father Solanus, now blessed Solanus Casey, was a Capuchin monk. And I didn't know this, but he loved to play the violin. The problem was his brother Capuchins didn't love it when he played the violin because he was squeaky. He couldn't play it. And so they begged him, "Father, do not play the violin." But he wouldn't give it up. And so they said late at night they could hear him in the chapel in front of the tabernacle playing Irish religious hymns to the Lord. Off-key, squeaky, awful. But he did it for the Lord. I find great hope in that too. That as Father Solanus, now bless him again, understands that it's not the doing successfully, but at least the trying that the Lord blesses. The trying. Oh, there's going to be great success too, some of you might have. And there's something sneaky. We've been talking about evangelization and stuff, and that's a big fancy word. And as Catholics, it kind of terrifies us, and we get a little scared, and because our experience is something like Brian's, what Brian shared about the person that came by and started to preach the gospel. You know, there's a theological word for that kind of person. You want to know what it is? Jerk. We can be jerks. I have an experience of that myself. I had a classmate, we're in a shop. It happened to be in Jerusalem. And the shopkeeper was a Muslim, a nice guy. You couldn't find a nicer guy. And we were talking with him, building a relationship with him, because he was the guy you went to if you wanted anything. I'm not talking black market stuff, but if you wanted to know where to get an icon of this particular saint, or if you wanted this particular kind of incense, or whatever it was, he was the guy who knew exactly where to go. And so we built this relationship with him, and because of that relationship, we found some really good deals. And one day we were in there talking with him and just chatting and talking about life in general. And a jerk came in. It happened to be a woman. "Are you saved yet?" She goes to Murphy. Murphy with a Muslim name. Muslim. I haven't figured that out yet. "Murphy, have you been saved?" "Murphy." "Well, I'm Muslim." "Well, you're going to hell then. Unless you accept the Lord Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior." She launched into a 5-minute diatribe. And I remember, very specifically, about halfway through this 5-minute diatribe, she turns to my friend and I and says, "You have to talk to them this week. They just don't understand. They're going to hell." And my heart broke at that moment. Because she understood exactly what she was doing. She understood she was a jerk. She wasn't even trying anymore. She was just jerk. All the way through. She wasn't aware of the treasure she had received and the treasure that she wanted to pass on. She was just aware that he's going to hell. That's all she cared about. After she left, my classmate and I looked at him and said, "We are so sorry." And he says, "You know, the problem is I get one of those almost every day. I don't get people like you every day. If there were more people like you, I would have become Catholic a long time ago. I would have become Christian a long time ago. But the problem is, that's how you come off sometimes. To evangelize isn't to have the fancy words. It isn't to have all the tools and at your ready to be able to pull it off. Sometimes the best thing we can do to evangelize is just simply to share life with someone." I heard of a conversion story the other day. Actually, Clark Gable, I believe it is, a big actor. Clark was not, he was a womanizer, and he did a number of things. He fell in love with a woman, married her. She happened to be Catholic. He was kind of non-practicing, whatever it was. And this woman went to a Catholic church, and so he would go along. And something about the priest, it happened to be a priest, attracted him. And he began to have a relationship, a conversation with the priest, and that developed into a friendship. And the priest never talked about Jesus for the first months of their relationship. The priest just simply shared life.
talked about hunting, talked about going skiing, and various other things. Clark Abel became a Catholic because of the priest's witness. But he became Catholic more importantly because of his wife's witness. He became Catholic about a year before he died. See, there's a difference here, isn't there? To evangelize means we receive the treasure. Notice Jesus doesn't force, the parable doesn't force the treasure. He gives the treasure. And to take that treasure and then to use that treasure. And even if we lose it, at least we've used it. We didn't bury it. And then once we've used it, allow the person to receive it. And then the fun part begins. That person is called to be where you are right now. To discern in my life, who is it that I need to go to? Not only is it disciples guiding disciples, but disciples replicating disciples. You've been given a great task this weekend. You're being called to go back to evangelize in a simple way a number of people. And as Brian said last night too, you know, there's more rocks. There's more people. There's always more people. But we don't have to worry about I'll call to a million people or 1.2 billion or 2.4 billion. I'm called to this one, this day, this person in front of me. And if I'm faithful to that person, maybe God will put somebody else in my life, maybe not, hopefully so. But that person will be called to go to that person. And that person will be called to go to that person. And replicate and replicate and replicate. There's something beautiful about that. It's not on all your shoulder individually. It's on all of our shoulders. It's on the shoulders of those people that don't even know Jesus yet. We are called to use our talents. I should back up here. The word talent, in English, we use that for the gifts and skills that God has given us. That's because of this parable. That the talent is money. But how we understood how important it is to remember all the gifts that God has given us. It's not just $500,000.